Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Aditya Mulani from the HT Media Group. I would like to welcome you all to our second quarter financial year 22-23 earnings webinar. As a reminder, all participants shall be in listen-only mode. After the presentation concludes, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. I now hand over to Ms. Anna Abraham, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Anna.
Thank you, Aditya. A very good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of HT Media Group, I welcome you to our earnings webinar to discuss the financial results of the second quarter of financial year 22-23. On the call with me today, I have Piyush Gupta, Group CFO, Mr. Anup Sharma, CFO of Hindustan Media Ventures Limited, Mr. Parvez Badan, Group Controller, and members of our investor relations team. I trust you had an opportunity to go through the financial results of Hindustan Media Ventures Limited declared last Wednesday on 2nd November and of HT Media Limited released earlier today. We will be discussing the details of the same through the course of our call today. Kindly note that our remarks will track with the presentation on the Zoom webinar. This presentation, along with the financial statements, is available on stock exchanges and the investor relations section of our website. The next slide captures a disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements. Do keep this in mind. As per practice, we do not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Moving on to slide three, this gives our chairperson's comments on the performance of the company for the quarter and a quote. The second quarter of the current fiscal saw a fairly conducive business environment. However, inflationary pressures continued in the form of elevated input costs arising largely from geopolitical factors. Our print business continues to show revenue growth on the back of an increase in both advertising and circulation revenue. Our radio business is recovering gradually and is showing a substantial top-line growth on a YoY basis. However, profitability of the print business was significantly impacted by elevated newsprint rates. We are seeing signs of pressure easing on this front, although the benefits of this will flow only in later quarters. In the near term, the festive season provides further growth opportunities across business verticals as retail and commercial activity picks up in the ongoing quarter. Amidst considerable global economic and geopolitical churn, our endeavor remains the same, to be a source of credible news and engaging content for our growing audience base. End of quote. Slide 4 gives the agenda for today. We will begin with a performance update with comments on our consolidated financials, followed by detailed remarks on print, radio, and digital business, further to which we will open for Q&A session. I will now hand over the call to Piyush to take you through the rest of the presentation. Over to you, Piyush.
Thanks, Aditya. Thanks, Anna. Very good afternoon to everyone and season's greetings. We will now jump into the presentation right away. So on your screens, as you can see, this is the consolidated financial summary for the second quarter FY23. And, in the parallel column, you also have the FY22, same period last year. As you can see, on YOY basis, the total revenue grew by 2%. And EBITDA, there's a decline. It's come to a negative 12 crores at a 3% negative margin. PBT comes at a minus 66 crores at a minus 15% margin, and our net cash remains above 800 odd crores. The key highlights are given on the right hand side. The total revenue, I think I've given the commentary. The only other point that I'd like to make is the company has decided to move to a new tax regime, which has resulted in a write off on unutilized MAT credit of 88.5 crores. And a reversal of tax credit of 7.5 crores, which is related to the previous years. Moving on. Going into the business unit performance for print. Our ad revenue came at 269 crores at a 9% increase. And on a sequential basis, a 12% growth. Our circulation revenue at 61 crores was a 21% increase, led by both print order and realization per copy. And on a sequential basis, that's a 2% growth. Consequently, our operating revenue at a 10% increase came to 344 crores, and our operating EBITDA came at negative 14 with a 4% negative margins. Quickly jumping into the English business, which is HT Media and Mint. If we look at second quarter FY23, revenue at 147 crores, which is a 10% increase on a YOY basis, and a 16% increase on a sequential basis. Our circulation revenue at 15 crores is 118% increase on a YOY basis and a 19% increase on a sequential basis. Similarly, insofar as Hindi is concerned, at 122 crores ad revenue, which is a 7% increase on a YOY basis and 8% increase on a sequential basis, and circulation revenue at 47 crores is a 7% increase on a YOY basis and a flattish to minus 2% decline on a sequential basis. Radio, there's a nice growth, as you can see, a 36% growth, numbers coming to 33 crores versus 24 crores same period last year, with the operating EBITDA margin coming into a positive territory of 3%. Digital has been flat, minus 4%, 33 crores came down to 32 crores, and operating EBITDA was marginally negative of 2 crores at a 5% negative margin. With that, we come to the end of the presentation. And, we leave it for the question and answers now.
Thank you, Piyush. We will now begin the Q&A session. You can click on the raise hand option, which will enable the moderator to unmute you for posing your query. Please introduce yourself before posing your query and kindly restrict to a maximum of 2 questions per participant so that we may be able to address questions from all participants. We will wait for a few moments while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Guneet Singh. Guneet, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I have a question regarding the loss that we are making since the last couple of quarters. So is this majorly driven by the increase in newspaper print paper prices? And could you please give some idea of how the prices have trended, say, in the past 2-3 years? And what is the outlook in terms of how the prices would trend for the coming couple of quarters? So
before I give you the idea of, the prices, Guneet, sorry, what is the first part of the question? The lower what we are making?
The losses that we're making.
Oh, the losses. All right. Okay, so let me just give some color here, Guneet. The losses are primarily on two reasons. If you look at the EBITDA movement versus the same period last year, one is the elevated newsprint prices. Newsprint prices in the current quarter have averaged around 66,000 rupees per metric ton, as against the same period last year was about 42,000. So you can see that's about a 50% increase in newsprint prices. That's purely the pricing delta, and in terms of rupee crores, that costed about 57 crores, which is gone into the P&L. Now, if I were to project out now, that's a little bit of hypothesis here. What we are seeing in the market, that the prices have already topped out. And we believe after plateauing for some time, they would start coming down. As you know, newsprint is a cyclical commodity. And I believe they're already hitting the peak at about $850, $890 a metric ton. In terms of dollar, we believe the prices will come close to about $700 in the next couple of quarters. Now, of course, as you would understand, the currency itself is a bit of a wild card at this point in time because there's a 10% rupee depreciation. So, We will save about 25 to 30 in terms of dollar prices, but 10% of that will go away in the currency. I personally therefore believe, looking at our inventory situation and where the newsprint prices are heading, that in the next couple of quarters, we would come out of the red, which is primarily because of the newsprint cost, and the margins will therefore start improving.
Just to add to what Piyush has said, ki, in the last couple of quarters, we of course saw a high impact on the revenues given COVID and how it impacted businesses across categories and especially the retail business, so therefore, and the local businesses. So therefore, we saw consecutively there is a growth, but it has still not come back to the pre-COVID level.
So just to accentuate the point that my colleague just made, which is on the revenue, we know that the volumes have been continuously recovering for the last, I would say, 2 quarters since the COVID has been started to ebb away. However, pricing still remains a challenge. So the volumes are back to about 80-90%. In some markets of Hindi, they are actually above the pre-COVID levels also. But pricing still is a big challenge, whereby, market by market, we are anywhere between 70-90% of the pre-COVID pricing. I hope that answers your question, Gunit.
Yes, it does in some sense. So going forward, do we expect to cross the pre-COVID levels because there is a large adoption of digital media? So in terms of your internal projections, how do you see the business going forward?
Yeah, two things there, Gunit. I think the migration to digital or the new age media, only has been accentuated by COVID, but it's not a new phenomenon. That's been happening for the last many, many years as more and more people are adopting to the new forms of media. So that's the reason we have a pretty robust digital business, which is basically undergoing those changes. Having said that, we believe that we will be easily able to come to a very, very profitable situation, or whether we'll be able to cross the peak or not cross the peak, I won't like to hazard a guess. We don't speculate on forward-looking forecasts. But suffice to say that, the mere impact of the newsprint prices reverting back to media itself will be a very robust impact on the bottom line. And with pricing correcting in the marketplace, which is a factor of demand and supply, I think we can easily cross the pre-COVID levels without any questions.
All right. And in terms of the newspaper print paper, is it mostly imported or is it also locally sourced?
Okay. Currently, it's largely all domestic because as you've given the geopolitical environment, shipments from global sources has been a bit of a challenge and also a little on the costlier side. So currently, it's largely domestic, but it does vary depending on the opportunities that we find.
Yeah, so Gunit, it's basically depending upon, opportunities. We keep on evaluating all sources, both domestic and international. Wherever the pricing equation is in our favor, we go for it. Right now, it's mostly domestic, but going forward, it'll depend on the pricing equation.
All right, that's all. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hari S. Hari, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Good morning, sir.
Good afternoon.
My questions are regarding this Digi Content and Next Media. What is the strategy like amalgamating them? And second question is regarding this right of use assets and lease liabilities have gone up. Can you throw some light on that, sir?
Yeah. So on the first question, let me just try to give you an answer, and then I'll request my colleague to answer the second part of your question. The Digi Content and Next Media, you said, that is a scheme that we had put forward to the NCLT and to the shareholders. As you're aware, that in the current form and fashion had not gone ahead because we had to secure the majority of the minorities' approval, which we could not. So we are looking at other ways and means to simplify our holding structure of various businesses. Right now, it's still a WIP. There's nothing concrete on the table. Once there is, we will bring it back to the shareholders. I would now request my colleague Anna to take the right of use and the lease assets.
Yeah, some of our properties that we use for office premises is on a longer term contract. Therefore, under Ind AS, it gets classified as right of use assets. These assets had come up for renewal this year, and we have renewed it for the same long tenure that we typically have. And therefore, there is an increase here, but there is a corresponding number in the lease liabilities also. So net-net, it is not a significant number. It's just that under the accounting standards, we kind of record it at 2.
So Hari, the point is at a PBT level, that's neutral, okay. But accounting standards ask you to classify that across two lines.
Okay, sir. One more question, sir. Is there any plan of taking the market share from these news aggregators because they are getting the lion's share of the revenue, ad revenue? Is there any plan?
Hari, that exactly, strictly not this company's question, but let me, try to answer that, at a high level. The news aggregator are primarily working in the digital side. Our digital company, which is DCL, which is parallel to HT Media, is putting a lot of plans into action, whereby, how can we serve more effectively news to our readers and consumers in a more cost-effective manner. Those strategies are being worked out, and you've seen the last year's growth. So that strategy will keep on unfolding at the DCL level.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Joshi. Sameer, please unmute yourself and ask your question. Sameer, please unmute yourself and ask your question. We'll move on to the... Sameer is... Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Sameer.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Please go.
I have two questions. Like, why doesn't company publish the readership or readership count of publications along with news price trend quarter on quarter and year on year? And second thing, in order to increase advertising revenue as well as subscription revenue, is the company thinking of out-of-box thinking, like encouraging digital subscription so that there is no cost on newsprint, but only advertising gets more remunerative?
Great question, Sameer. There are three questions. One is, on the readership trend. The second is on the newsprint price trend. And third on the ad revenue. So let me take them in the same order. On the readership, Sameer, the readership numbers are audited and published by an independent agency, IRS. And that data is, I think publicly published once they finish their survey. And I believe that survey is going to happen in the next 6 to 9 months. So once that data will be done, it will be published. We as a company or any other company does not independently put their readership number, but a third party audits and then puts that number. So, once it is there, you can pick it up from the IRS website. The second point that you asked for was on the newsprint price trends. Now, again, newsprint price trends are captured by an independent agency called RISI. And RISI basically puts out a forward forecast for the newsprint price trends across various markets in the world, including India and Singapore and Hong Kong and so on and so forth. Now, those are the price trends that we consider while taking our procurement decision. And, those are also available on the RISI website, and you can pick that up. The third piece that you asked on, out-of-box thinking on getting ad revenue, what I would like to tell you is there are multiple digital ways in which we are approaching or recruiting our either readers or future subscribers. Including giving them very smart schemes, and the latest scheme being that we are bundling that, with a digital offering that we have, which is called OTT Play, which is an aggregator of various OTT platforms, like Netflix is an OTT platform, Amazon Prime is an OTT platform, Disney is another OTT platform, Voot, Sony, and so on and so forth. So we are bundling with that so that it becomes much more exciting for our future reader, consumer, either of our news or various other propositions that we are bringing to our consumers. So we are already doing that, and can we do more? Of course, we can do more. but we are perpetually thinking how to take our proposition much more smartly to our readers and consumers, and we are at it. I'll stop there. So I hope I've answered your questions.
Yeah, but the only question is, does consumer know about these things? Like, that is a main question. Like,
I think that, look, Sameer, we believe, anyway, now that you've highlighted, I've taken a note of that. Let me ask the marketing departments to, you know, what should be the better go-to-market strategy in terms of, you know, taking this knowledge or this proposition to our readers so that they are aware of this thing and not, or just not waiting for their vendors to tell them what schemes are available, but they can basically do a search on a Google and find it out themselves.
The only thing I'd like to add is that while our circulation copies in print have taken a substantial hit in during lockdowns, it's been growing, and therefore even the print circulation revenue, we are continuing to report a growth. So we are also looking at all these additional opportunities, the core is also growing and coming back to the pre-COVID levels.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Smiran Bhandari. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the net cash of 811 crores. How much of it belongs to HT Media and how much of it belongs to HMVL? Can you give me the segregation?
Yeah, HMVL is about 1100 crores of cash in that, and the rest of the companies will be at a debt, net debt position.
Okay, and secondly, about HMVL, there is around 31 crores, unallocated expenses. So does that belong to HT Lab startups?
Yeah, partially, yes.
Yeah, partially, yes.
So now what I'm observing is that HT Lab startups are combined with, new age startups are combined with a legacy vernacular business. So how much of it does that make sense? Does it make any sense at all? Because these will have different cost structures, different expenses. So any shareholder will look at it and they won't understand. They'll see this 30 crores and they'll imagine it to be the loss of HMVL newspaper business. So shouldn't HT Labs be a wholly owned subsidiary?
Look, Mr. Bhandari, I think the whole point is, you are absolutely right. Once those business scale to a certain level, of course, from a shareholder point of view, you can always restructure and take that proposition separate to the market. But as my colleague just highlighted to you, most of the cash is sitting here and you really don't want to create a complicated structure whereby cash is being sent here. So, right now, all these incubations which are happening, we are waiting for them to scale up before we make them a separate proposition. And the shareholders can definitely, once they're scaled up, can definitely have them separately viewed and we can do multiple things at that point in time. But it's too early at this point in time.
We've constantly talked about the fact that we're keeping cash to diversify into new business streams and adjacencies. It might not be exactly similar businesses, but adjacencies where we believe we have the right to build a diversification business, we will want to invest and continue to invest. And that's been what we have consistently told the market as well.
So I have nothing against the strategy. I mean, it's a good way to utilize your cash reserve. At least it's a plan. Having a plan is better than having no plan. My point is, just regarding disclosure norms, it is quite material. You cannot just say it's at an initial stage because the 30 crores, that's the loss of HMVL. And 31 crores is probably, I'm just presuming under segment revenues, that's the startup burn. So already it is at a very material level. So combining it with your newspaper business, which is under standalone, it should come under consolidated so that we can have a better understanding of what the newspaper business is doing and what HT Labs is doing under separate tabs.
Yeah. So look, Mr. Bhandari, I think we've never shied away from giving over disclosures. I think that's a great point that you make. But as I said, it's just about a 2-quarter-old business and, it's still scaling up. We are still bringing in people, building up the capabilities, and hence we have not taken it as a separate segment. I think, suffice to say that we will again take a litmus test on that. And if required, we can always do over disclosure. Because right now, legally, whatever is required, we're absolutely doing. But I think from more transparency point of view, as you rightly said, if it is required, we can all look at creating that as a separate segment and have that conversation with the auditor.
And it's just not one business, it's a couple of businesses which are getting explored under that entire labs portfolio. So as and when the business model is established for any one of them and, you know, the revenue monetization, etc. kicks in, it will get reported as a separate segment. So you know, labs is encompassing a few experiments, so to speak.
Yeah, sure. Just like to add as a finishing point that please disclose more about HT Labs from next quarter onwards so that the shareholders have an idea of, you know, where things are going.
Got it. Thank you for that comment.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta. Please unmute yourself and ask your question. Riya seems to have dropped her hand. Moving on, the next question is, Riya is now back. We can see that. Riya, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I would like to ask a question regarding advertisement. So how are we seeing regional advertisement? So I understand that English and regional have different demographics. So how are we seeing in regional, specifically in Bihar, how do we see it panning out? Since I was speaking to a couple of advertisers, so we're seeing good kind of growth. However, the major auto is not being reflected much. So what's your opinion on the same?
So Riya, as you rightly said, I mean, you know, separate set of advertisers, you know, for local advertising, separate set of advertiser for national advertising. You know, if you talk about markets like Bihar or UP, that's what we serve through Hindustan, which is our Hindi language daily. What we have seen is clearly that in that particular segment of advertisers, the volume have come back to a pre-COVID level. But of course, pricing is still, there was some disturbance, sorry. But pricing is still something that, you know, we are still waiting for that
okay.
to come up. But the volumes have definitely come back in the local advertising.
And in local, what segment do we see the advertisement coming up from?
Across segments we are seeing growth on a few sectors are what is impacted. FMCG is a little down, but otherwise banking and finance, education, retail, or even auto to some extent is better than last quarter. So is real estate.
And how has the festive season panned out for us, mainly the Diwali season, October month?
We would not like to comment on it at this point of time. I mean, I think we will, you know, in the next quarter address the question.
Look, I think, you know, at a high level, yeah, I think it was good, could have been better. But I think the big problem of volumes coming back without pricing is still something in an escalated newsprint situation that, you know, it's good, but not very good, you know.
How is competition panning out in the regional space for us in the advertisement segment?
I mean,
why are we unable to increase the advertisement yield?
Look, I think the problem in yield is about, you know, the market competition. So in markets where we are, you know, we have a good competitive position, we've been able to work on our yields. Where our competition has good market position, they've been able to work too much on their yields. But suffice to say, if you look at an index to a pre-COVID level, at an average level across markets, yields are still, you know, not back to the pre-COVID level either for us or for competition. What you see in competition results, and really both the competitors have already disclosed their results, is because they are a pure play Hindi players, and some amount of political revenue is also sitting in one of the players. So, you know, you see certain variance in numbers. But as far as pricing is concerned, my comment still holds that pricing is still not, you know, on an index level, you know, higher than the pre-COVID level for everyone. And everyone's working now that the volumes are back. Maybe the demand-supply equation will help take the pricing up from here on.
So volumes are back to pre-COVID level for us?
Yes.
Okay. And what are we doing for the competition? Like, are we reducing our cover prices with the newspaper print prices going down?
Dear participant?
No, no. I'll take this question and then we'll move to the next one. Look, Ria, it doesn't work exactly like that, because when the prices go up, we are unable to pass on the total price increase to the readers any which ways. So I think it's not possible to reduce, like a commodity price, because still we even in Hindi, where we recover more than English, we don't manage to recover even 50% of the newsprint cost at these elevated levels. So I don't think that's the intent.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Pathak. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, Piyush, Anna. Season's greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear. We can absolutely hear you, Mehul. Hope you're doing well. Season's
greetings. Related Diwali wishes. I'm doing well. Thank you. My question is not more related to this quarter, but a larger question. I actually was just looking at DB Corp, Jagran Prakashan, and our performance from 2018-19. FY18 and FY19, all three of us had more than 10% net profit margins. So there was not much to choose between each company in terms of profitability to sales. We fell sharply during the COVID time, made losses. These other two companies also fell, but they did not make losses. Now they are back. Of course, they are also hit by newsprint prices. But even now, their net profit margins are about 10%.
Yeah.
Even today, when I say you look at even the quarterly performances, they are showing that. Now, when it comes to capital employed, if you see DB Corp uses largely around 2,000 crores to make about 150 crores a year. Jagran Prakashan uses about 2,200 crores and they make 200 crores plus. Now, along with Hindustan HMVL, we use close to 4,500 to 5,000 crores a year. And we still make losses. So, can you share some perspective on actually, where we are going and what net profit margins we can expect in future? Will we be competing with the other two? I am not saying that, the businesses are, actually same. But at least HMVL should reflect what DB Corp and the others are doing. So if you can share some larger picture in terms of where we are moving and, will we match in these people and performance, or will we keep guzzling capital and, deliver far lesser?
Yeah. So Mehul, just for my understanding, this 4,500 crore, where did you get that number from?
No, I'm just taking some, top line numbers. For example, HMVL today has a net worth of, when I look at March or even current numbers, the current balance sheet, they have 1,502 crores of net worth, and they have total debt of 278 crores. If you look at HT Media, we have 2,083 crores net worth on March 23 and total debt of around 800 crores. So I am saying that roughly when I see, HT Media, if I take, I'm not reducing cash and, doing some, accounting calculation. I'm just saying that in our business, we have today, as on March 23, 2,800 crores. And when you look at HMVL, HMVL had, has about 1,800 crores. So all this capital that we are using in the business, we are using significantly more capital than all the other companies. There is no comparison at all. But when I look at the numbers they deliver, even their numbers are pathetic for the capital that they are using. But we are nowhere, even compared to a poor performance of DB Corp and Jagran Prakashan, we are not even that level of performance. Now, by when, my question is that, are we looking at these numbers? Do you have some perspective to share? What are they doing differently? When will we match at least their level of performance?
Yeah. So Mehul, thanks, I think, for that comment and that question. So couple of things. So I think, first of all, you should look at the overall number of HT Media and HMVL and compare the return. I think if you want to do HMVL, we can do HMVL, we can do HT Media separately. Having said that, you know, one thing that you know as well as I do is, you know, most of the legacy print media business, I don't think they are turning out the ROC of 20-25% at this point in time. You know, given a lot of, you know, given a lot of migration to digital media, you know, which is a long-term trend, short-term trends being suddenly the newsprint prices goes up and then come down and so on and so forth. However, what we have done very prudently, and I think you'll appreciate at certain level, you might hate us for that or you might love us for that, is the reality that at least we are trying new things. Like, you know, the gentleman before you was talking about HT Labs, we are at least trying new initiatives where we can really lever up the ROC by participating in these new age businesses, which can allow the better ROC. So at this point in time, I really don't want to explain the difference of ROC between 4% to 15% on a walk ladder, saying that there's an operating leverage because they have a double the size of the business and hence they can use their machines much better. But the reality is, you know, even if we do 15%, you know, your comment is that is close to pathetic. So I think if something has to do way, I think what I take solace at this point in time is that we are not sleeping at the wheel, right? We are experimenting new things. You know, maybe one of these things will flip. HT Labs is a new, you know, it's a new incubation whereby at least we are trying 6 or 7 new things. You know, hopefully with a very clear hope and intent, and we are working towards it, that a couple of those will work and become scalable business, because only through those initiatives will be able to jack up the ROCE from where it is currently. The short term, I mean, the simple way to explain, you know, our negative versus there is the operating leverage for a business of double the size, you know, and the market position, which is much more better in a much richer market, like let's say UP versus Bihar, obviously they'll get that operating leverage. But we are experimenting with new products, which will help us create a sustainable business, which will jack up the ROC. I think that's broadly what I can say, but happy to hear any thoughts you have, you know, because we are consistently, you know, looking at new strategies to jack up for the shareholders, but that's what we have. But if you've got any thoughts, you know, now or later, I mean, we can always chat about that.
No, actually, I have 2-3 thoughts, Piyush. One is that, we are been, you know, not delivering a good ROC for a fairly long time. Now, the management firmly believes that, you know, it is a better deployer of capital than the shareholder will be if the money is in his hands. So, you know, either give back the money to the shareholders, reduce the denominator so that the ROCE will improve. That is one. Second is that, you know, even in the AGM and in the past, you have always, you know, made this comment that we cannot comment on what the market prices of our stock, you know, and we will not comment on that. But if you see the same market is at least rewarding Jagran Prakashan and DB Corp by quoting them at book value and above. DB Corp is quoting above book value. So the market is punishing us very badly.
But Mehul, if I may just, sorry to interject here, but you know, as an investor and as a very seasoned investor that you are, I hope you'll agree with me that a stock quoting at book value, of course, Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger can say that, but you won't basically go into that because, you know, I'm not talking about the new age companies, but at least a 2x to book or 2.5 or 3x to books is something that most growth companies are doing. So my point is, of course, we are trading below the book, but our hope and expectation is that by getting some great businesses within the outfit, by utilizing the resources that we have, can we create sustainable value for all shareholders, majority and minority? Because look, I mean, you know, we can always argue if you can't do anything, that then return the cash. And I've always said in the AGM, and I repeat again, I mean, you know, on the expense of sounding like a broken record, though those conversations have happened and will happen. But, you know, but think about it. If the switch flips on one of these new initiatives, I think we can trade much above the book value, isn't it?
No. Yes. But Piyush, my point was that
market. Dear participant, sorry to interrupt. May we request you to please fall back in queue for follow-up questions?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
I was just responding to what Piyush was saying. I have no new perspective to add. No, any glide path you can give Piyush next 5 years on, you know?
I think Mehul, what from now is, look, I think 5 years is too much of a pie in the sky. I think what we need to do is, you know, and I am planning to come down I think we should sit down for a cup of coffee and exchange notes on these, because look, really, I mean, we are pretty much open to suggestions, and I can fill you in on various initiatives that the company is doing. But if there are fresh suggestions which we might have missed, happy to take them on board. So let's have a let's carry on this conversation further.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Piyush. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranga Prasad. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can, Ranga. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My question relates to our shifting to the new tax regime. By shifting, we have given up a substantial amount of tax assets. Now, was our shift prompted by the fact that we are not profitable and we will not be able to use the tax credits in the foreseeable future? Or do you see any other advantages that are going to get by the shift?
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question. Ranga, we have given up our tax assets, which is the MAT that we have taken, but we still have substantial carried forward business losses. So, you know, in various scenarios that we have plotted out, even if we become profitable, there are enough and more, you know, carried forward losses that we can utilize to set off our business gains going forward. And hence, there was no point of being, you know, cash out on an MAT basis at this point in time, where there is a way by shifting to a non-MAT regime and paying a lower marginal tax rate of 25% as against the 34.95%. And that's the reason we've given up the MAT assets. But suffice to say, we've still got substantial carry forward losses, which can be used to set up the future profits.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Joshi. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thanks for giving me another opportunity. I have a question. Like, company has so much cash in its book. So why doesn't it segregate into required cash for business and which is not required and which can be distributed to shareholders in form of dividends and buyback, just like how Jagrat Prakashan has been doing all. Thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Joshi. Look, I think most of the cash is sitting in HMBL. The single biggest shareholder of HMBL, of course, is HTML. So the most of the cash that we'll give, about 60%+ will come back to HTML itself. However, the bigger point being what I was discussing with the earlier participant, that the company at this point in time believes that the company can put this cash to a better use to create long-term sustainable value for the shareholders. And hence, we need to do. As far as the immediate cash is required, as you can see from the last, I would say about 6 quarters, we have seen very clearly, you know, either because of the pandemic or because of the escalated commodity newsprint cycle, a substantial amount of cash goes or gets locked in the working capital for a sustained long period of time. And hence, 300-400 crores in any case at any given point in time is what you call the safety cash, which is required for the normal running of the business. Beyond that, from a 800, if you take back 400, there's another 400. Not that we are utilizing all of that, but we have a definite call or a line of sight to use some part of that to try and create these sustainable businesses. So really, the dividend question is something that has been debated, not just here, but also in the shareholders meeting and the board level. And that will keep on being debated. But I just wanted to paint a picture of how the cash is being seen from a value creation and from a margin of safety perspective.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hari S. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello, sir. Once again, a suggestion regarding this, any plans of launching a YouTube or app-based news channel, because there won't be any carriage fees for these things. Is there any plan on the things?
Yeah, look, Hari, again, I'll go back to my point that yes, of course, we've got certain plans, but most of those plans are working out in our digital company, which is the DCL, Digi Content Limited. And we evaluate everything, various channels, including YouTube also. But most of those things are not happening either in HTML or HTML.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dharmesh Sanghoi. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, Piyush.
Hey, Dharmesh.
So my question is with regards to the staff benefits expense that we are seeing, employee benefits expense. It seems that it has gone down from 106 to 96. So is it the new base that we're seeing? Or I mean, what is the reason behind the same?
Yeah. So Dharmesh, let me just answer and then I'll request my colleague Anna to give you some more detail if required. So Dharmesh, you know, if you've been following our journey on this line, I think even before the start of pandemic, when we were seeing that the revenue is very tough to come by, we've been in a certain mode of rationalizing as much as possible. So much so that for the last 2 years, I mean, this year we gave our staff increment after 2 years, and you know, we had done a few exercises to rationalize some people. We had also brought down salary for most of the staff people. But having said that, the staff expenses in the, sitting in the 96 might be some one-off adjustment of 3-4 crores. But the fact is, the staff expenses has come down to a much lower level and stabilized there. But however, you need to understand there are some incubations like HT Labs, etc., that we are doing, for which we require some incremental staff, which is getting costed into these lines. I'll stop there and request Anna to kind of share her thoughts also on this.
Yeah, you're referring to the sequential number and not the YOY number, I assume, because YOY there is a slight...
Right, yeah, sequential.
Yes, the sequential number, there is some amount of regular savings, but yes, there is a one-time reversal of some variable payout, which of all the earlier years, which we have decided not to pay as well.
Yeah, and Dharmesh, there are variables sitting across most of the organization, depending on the results or the outcome. Those variable monies are either paid or not paid, and once they're not paid, when you true up the balance sheet and the P&L, those numbers are written back to the P&L.
So can we take 96 as the base going forward as well, or is it going to be?
I don't think so. I think it should be closer to 106, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you should take 104 kind of number.
Yeah, 106, I would say, you know, the last sequential quarter.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dharmesh.
Thank you. Thank you all. With this, we come to the end of the Q&A session. If you have any further queries, please reach out to the investor relations team. Our contact details are given in the investor presentation and are also mentioned on our websites. I now hand over to Piyush for closing remarks.
Thanks, Aditya. And thanks everyone for participating in our call. Season's greetings once again. And thank you for staying tuned into into your company's performance and sharing all your suggestions. As Aditya said, if there are more suggestions, we are absolutely open to those suggestions. As I said, and I repeat again, I mean, the company keeps on trying, new business models, because all said and done, the reality is this is a very fast evolving business model that the company has. And really, we are trying to discover the new frontiers to create sustainable value. But thank you so much. Season's greetings and stay safe and healthy. Thank you.